If we think of the Holy Spirit only as an impersonal power or influence, then our thought will constantly be, how can I get a hold of and use the Holy Spirit? But if we think of Him in the biblical way, as a divine person, infinitely wise, infinitely holy, infinitely tender, then our thought will constantly be, how can the Holy Spirit get a hold of and use me?
For those of you who don't know, my name is Danielle, and I'm on staff here at KC. I've been on staff for about a year, but KC really is home. I grew up here, and then I moved away for a number of years, and I met my husband, Ben, worked at a church in Coquitlam, and then God called us back. And we're excited about being here. We're excited about what God is doing here at KC, and so it's a privilege to get to be involved. And more than anything, it is a privilege to get to be here with you this morning, to get to open God's Word with you. And this weekend really is an exciting weekend because it's the first time that we are live streaming since the beginning of COVID. And so, yeah, it's good. It's exciting. And so I want to welcome you. I want to welcome you here in the sanctuary, in the main floor, in the balcony. I want to welcome those of you who are joining us in the ministry center. And I want to welcome those of you who are joining us online. It is good to gather with you in real time. So we get to enjoy the reality of that. And we are in a sermon series called Present Power. And we are looking at the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. Who is He and what does He do? And so we've been looking at how the Holy Spirit leads us into truth. He convicts, He ministers. The Holy Spirit frees. The Holy Spirit fills us. And then today I get to talk to you about spiritual gifts. And I love the topic of spiritual gifts, so I'm excited that that's what we get to unpack together. And in my prep, I've really had to fight the urge to give us a flyover of all of the spiritual gifts. And instead, what I've done is I've broken the sermon into four sections. And so we're going to start with looking at the role of the Holy Spirit in our spiritual gifts. And then we're going to ask the question, how do I discover my spiritual gifts? And then who are my spiritual gifts for? And then what role do I play in my spiritual gifts? And so Romans 12 is going to be our grounding passage, our grounding scripture today. And so if you are willing and able, will you turn with me and stand with me as we read together? We're going to be looking at the first 8 verses. So Paul says this, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. And we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. So if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." God, I thank you that by grace, God, when we open your scriptures, we get to meet you here in the pages. That this isn't just ink on a page, it's living, breathing, active truth. And so I pray that by your Spirit, you would come and meet us afresh and anew. That we would receive the words that you have for us. And I pray that my words would not be my own, they'd be yours, and that you'd be glorified in it all. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. So like I said, we're going to start with the role of the Holy Spirit in our spiritual gifts. And I think for us to understand as we unpack Romans 12, we need a little bit of context. And so in Romans 11, Paul is talking about how God is reconciling both Jew and Gentile back to himself. Paul says this is God's salvation plan, and we see it all throughout Scripture. God making a way for his people to be with him. And at the end of Romans 11, Paul quotes Job 41. He says, "In light of God's mercy, who can repay him?" And it's a bit of a rhetorical question. He's not necessarily demanding a response because he's making a point. He says, in light of everything God has given you, anything that you have to offer him in comparison just pales. And then we go into Romans 12, and he says, but the one thing you can do, the one thing you can do is to offer yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. He says, that's your true and proper response. And there's an important word for us in there. Paul says, living. You are a living sacrifice. And that's a bit of an oxymoron because typically things that are sacrificed don't live for very long. But Paul says you are a living sacrifice because when you put your faith in Jesus, when you said, Jesus, I believe you came and you died on the cross and I want to follow you, I want to trust you with my life, you died a spiritual death. You died to the things of this world and you died to your sin, and the Holy Spirit came and took up residence in your body, and he came and he breathed life and he made you alive in Christ. He made you a new creation. Paul says you are a living sacrifice, and so that is our first part. The role of the Holy Spirit in our spiritual gifts is he comes and he renews. He makes us alive in Christ. And then in verses 3-8, he talks about what that means for our life. What does it mean that we're alive in Christ, that we're new creations? Paul says in verses 4-5, he says, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Whew. So I have a body, and my body is made up of many members. I have hands and feet, nose, ears, and eyes, and all of these members have different functions, but they are unified in their purpose to cultivate life within me and then to express life to those around me. And what Paul is saying is when the Holy Spirit came and renewed you, he also united you. He united you to the body of Christ, a community of believers. And these members, the members of the body of Christ, although different, are unified in purpose. They're unified in their purpose to cultivate the life of Jesus amongst the body and then to express the life of Jesus to those around it. And that seems like a tall order because we can open this book and we read the life of Jesus and it's chock full of mercy and grace. It's chock full of wisdom and knowledge and power. And so it seems like a tall order. And so we can have one of two responses to that. We can sit in this camp and we can say, well, it's too tall of an order and I don't think I'm interested and so I'm out. Or we can sit in this camp and we can say, you want me to cultivate the life of Jesus and express it? Well, I'll grit my teeth, I'll run a little faster, I'll jump a little higher and I'll make it happen. And I think both camps miss what Paul's saying. Paul says in verse 6, he says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. He says, we have different gifts given to each of us according to the grace given to each of us. So that word gift, the Greek word for it is charismata, and it more properly translates into English as grace gifts. And Paul uses the word charismata multiple times throughout the New Testament. He uses it in a more general sense. He says, the eternal life that you and I experience in Jesus now and forevermore is charismata. It's a grace gift. He says, the blessings that you and I experience in God, hope, joy, peace, and love, he says, that's charismata. It's a grace gift. But also in instances like Romans 6 and 1 Corinthians 12, he uses it in reference to special abilities, supernatural boosts given to you and I. So what Paul is saying, he's saying, when you and you put your faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit came and renewed you, and he united you into the body of Christ so that you could cultivate the life of Jesus and express it, but you were not called to do it on your own. 1 Corinthians 12 says we have different gifts, but the same Spirit who distributes them. And he says to each of us, a manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And so Paul is saying is you've been distributed charismata, you've been distributed special gifts so that you can cultivate the life of Jesus and express the life of Jesus, but it's actually the manifestation, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in you that enables you to live out your charismata, to live out your grace gift. Sam Storm says that we are given spiritual gifts so that we can transcend our finite existence, our human existence, and minister to others in love and power as Jesus did. One author says that our spiritual gifts are God on display. They're God gone public, making himself known. So Paul is saying, so if in grace the Holy Spirit has come and he's given you the gift of prophesying, then come and let him empower you to express the life of Jesus as you prophesy. If in grace the Holy Spirit has given you the gift of serving, then let him come and empower you and express the life of Jesus as you serve. If in grace the Holy Spirit has given you the gift of teaching, then let him come and empower you and express the life of Jesus as you teach. If you're traveling along here from here to Kelowna on the Okanagan Connector, you get to the Penask Summit. And if you look off to the left, you'll see five massive windmills. And they stand about 100 meters tall, and each one has the potential to supply electricity to 900 homes. Like, they're really impressive. They stand like big, massive giants that stand at the crest of this hill. But without the wind, they're just big hunks of metal. But when the wind comes, and the wind blows over them and blows in them, they generate power. And so it is with us. We've been distributed in grace by the Holy Spirit, charismata. But without the wind, we're really just big hunks of metal. But when the wind comes and the wind blows over us and the wind blows in us, we generate power. The Holy Spirit comes and he renews. That's first and foremost. But then the Holy Spirit unites us into the body. And he distributes and he empowers. So three times throughout scripture, Paul references spiritual gifts to three different groups of people, and neither time does he list the same spiritual gifts, which has caused scholars to believe that we don't have an exhaustive list of what the spiritual gifts are, which has caused some confusion. And so the church has done what it can to try to alleviate some of that confusion. We have spiritual gift inventories and we have spiritual gift quizzes. And I've been really wrestling and praying through how to lead us into a deeper understanding of how do I discover my spiritual gifts. And I came across something that J.D. Greer said. J.D. Greer said that we often find our spiritual gifts at the confluence of our abilities, our affinities, and the affirmation of others. So where those three things merge, we find our spiritual gifts, that sweet spot. And he says our abilities are our natural talents, the things that we're inherently good at. And he says your natural talent is not your spiritual gift, but they often coincide. And he says your affinities are the things that you're passionate about. What do you get fired up about? And he says, the affirmation of others is really important for us in the church. It's the community of believers around you who love you and are for you and affirm things in you. They say things like, I experienced God when you did this, or I see God using you when you did that. And so when those three things merge, we find that sweet spot where our spiritual gift, we often find our spiritual gift exists there. And so let me give you an example. Let's say I was born with the natural ability to build into others. And I'm passionate about people finding and living out their passion in Christ. And I have people around me who affirm these things in me. It's likely that where those three things merge, pinpoint that my spiritual gift is the gift of leadership. Or let's say that I have a natural ability to build things. I'm really good, whether it's baking or it's woodworking. And I'm passionate about supporting the local church. And I have people who love me and who are for me and affirm these things in me. It's likely that my spiritual gift is the gift of serving. And so we could play this game all morning, but what's important for us to know that regardless of our abilities, our affinities, and the affirmation of others, in that sweet spot, what we find effectiveness. We find power. That's where the wind of the Holy Spirit blows. See, I'm trying to cut down my caffeine. And so I have my cup of my coffee in the morning, and then in the afternoon I have decaf. And what I'm finding is that decaf coffee might smell like coffee and it might look like coffee, but it's not coffee. Because what I'm missing in my decaf coffee is the boost, is the effectiveness. And what Paul is saying is in that sweet spot where your spiritual gift, where you've been given charismata, is a boost. It's effectiveness. The Holy Spirit renews, he unites, he distributes, and he empowers. So I want to get a little bit granular here for a second. We've talked about those three things. I want to talk about who are our spiritual gifts for. So the first and primary reason that you and I have spiritual gifts is to build up the church. Paul says, I'll remind us, he says in verse 5, he says, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So we've already established that we are renewed and united into the body of Christ so that we can cultivate the life of Jesus amongst us and we can express it to those around us. And we cultivate the life of Jesus in many different ways. When we engage in corporate and personal practices, when we open God's word together, when we worship together, when we celebrate together. But we cultivate the life of Jesus amongst us when we use our spiritual gifts for one another. And so what that means is I need your spiritual gift as much as you need mine. I need your gift of mercy when I am walking through difficult times. I need your gift of exhortation to spur me onwards to Jesus. I need your gift of faith when God has called me to do something that seems bold and audacious and I don't think I have what it takes. I need your gift of healing when I'm sick and when I'm ill. I need your gift of prophecy when I desperately need a word of knowledge from the Lord. We need each other. Paul says that all the members belong to one another. We need to use our spiritual gifts for one another, to cultivate the life of Jesus amongst us. And we need our spiritual gifts in order to express the fullness of the life of Jesus. So you can think of spiritual gifts like you would an orchestra. In an orchestra, you have the brass section and you have the woodwinds, you have the strings and the percussion. And the brass section on its own is beautiful, it's wonderful, but it's only one part of a bigger whole. And the strings on their own, they're beautiful, but they're only one part of a bigger whole. And the woodwinds, so good on their own, but only one part of a bigger whole. And when you bring the sections together, you get the harmonies and you get the melodies, you get the full nuance of the sound, and it's gorgeous. And so it is with our spiritual gifts. See, the gift of prophecy is wonderful and it's beautiful on its own, but it's only one part of a bigger whole. And the gift of mercy on its own is beautiful, so good, but it's only one part of a bigger whole. And the gift of generosity is so good on its own, but it's only one part of a bigger whole. And when we get the full spectrum of the gifts alive and active in the church, we get the full expression of Jesus. And that's important because the second reason you and I have spiritual gifts is for the world. And we want this world to encounter Jesus, and not just one aspect of Jesus, not just his mercy or his grace. We want the fullness of Jesus. We want people to experience the fullness of his mercy, the fullness of his leadership, the fullness of his wisdom and knowledge and power. And so that's an important word for somebody who's here and sees the church as a one-man band, where Chris gets up here on a weekend and he presents Jesus to us, and then we all go home and we come back next week and do the same thing again. See, what you're seeing on display here on a Saturday or on a Sunday is the symphony of gifts. You see people using their gift of hospitality as they greet you when you walk in through the front door. You see people using their gift of teaching and exhortation as they serve in Kidstown. You see people using their gift of leadership and serving as they lead us into worship or they serve on the tech team. And throughout the week, you see people using their gift of mercy as they serve on the care team and they sit with people and they pray with people who are in the depths of their brokenness. And you see people using their gift of teaching and wisdom and knowledge as they invite life groups into their home as a symphony of gifts. So, our spiritual gifts exist to cultivate the life of Jesus, express the life of Jesus. The primary reason is for the church. The second reason is for the world. But the third reason we have spiritual gifts is for ourselves. Paul talks in length about the corporate purpose of our spiritual gifts, but he also talks in length about the personal purpose of our spiritual gifts. And if we believe that our spiritual gifts are the manifestation of the Spirit in us, then to operate in our spiritual gifts is guaranteed encounter with him. So I started preaching a number of years ago, and still to this day, I get so nervous that seconds before I walk up on stage, I think if I just booked it out the back door, would anybody notice? Like, my knees get shaky and my hands are clammy. And you need to understand that the first and primary reason I preach is because I want to serve people with the word. But in the midst of the nerves, what gets me up here is because I know without fail I will meet Jesus here. It is guaranteed encounter. And I want to meet Jesus. And I want to keep meeting Jesus. And so some of you are here and you've, like, spiritually flatlined. And you're looking around this room, and some people seem kind of into it. Like, they have their hands up, they're writing notes, and you're thinking to yourself, why don't I experience God like that? Why don't I encounter God like that? And you have been distributed in grace. You've been renewed. You've been united, and you've been distributed in grace, charismata, so that you can cultivate the life of Jesus and express it and encounter him for yourself, and you are not using your gifts. And the Holy Spirit is inviting you to come and encounter him as you use your gift of mercy, as you sit with people in the depths of their pain, as you use your gift of exhortation, as you use your gift of serving, as you use your gift of leadership. The full spectrum of the gifts fully alive and active in the church. And so that's why when Chris stands up here and he says, get involved, there's ways, different ways for you to get involved. He's not doing that because he wants KC to be a busy church, or he wants us to look like we're doing more. He's inviting you into opportunities for you to use your spiritual gift, to cultivate the life of Jesus and express it and encounter him for yourself. And here at KC, we don't just believe that the full spectrum of the gift should be fully alive and active here. We want to see to it that they are. And so we want to give you opportunities to use your gifts. And we want to affirm them in you. And we want to fan them into flame. So what role does the Holy Spirit play in our spiritual gifts? How do I discover my spiritual gifts? Who are they for? And then lastly, what role do I play if we believe that KC should be a church that sees the full spectrum of the gifts fully alive and active? What does that mean for us as a church? I've identified three things. We renounce our pride, we pray, and we practice. So first, to renounce my pride, the first thing I need to do is I need to surrender my will. And that's an important word for the person in this camp who says it's too tall of an order to cultivate and express the life of Jesus. I don't think I'm interested, and so I'm out. Paul says you are a living sacrifice. He said the Holy Spirit came, took up residence in your body. You died a spiritual death. You died to this world. You died to your own way, and you died to your own will. And instead, you were called to align yourself with Jesus. So instead of cultivating and expressing your own life, you are called to cultivate and express the life of Jesus. And that's a tough pill for some of us to swallow because we like our own way. We like cultivating and expressing our own life. But I believe with every fiber of my being that Jesus says things like, pick up your cross and follow me. Align yourself with me. Not because he wants to deny us the life we always thought we wanted. It's because here, next to him, where life truly begins. Oswald Chambers says that God takes ordinary people and makes them extraordinary by giving them an extraordinary purpose. To cultivate the life of Jesus amongst the body, express the life of Jesus to a world who's desperate for him, and encounter the life of Jesus for yourself. So we surrender our will, but we also need to embrace our humility, and that's an important important word for people in this camp who say, well, if I grit my teeth and I jump a little higher and I run a little faster, I'll make Jesus known. See, your spiritual gift is the manifestation of the Spirit in you. And so that means that you cannot operate in your gift in your own strength. You cannot make Jesus known in your own strength. And the minute we think we can, we are dead in the water because that is pride. And pride is a Holy Spirit quencher. And so what we need to do is we need to learn to embrace our own humility, embrace our own finite existence, and learn to be windmills. Surrender to the wind of the Holy Spirit. So we renounce our pride, and we also pray. This is the non-negotiable necessity of prayer when it comes to our spiritual gifts. And our prayer is non-negotiable, and it's necessary because Paul says, pursue your spiritual gifts. And what he means is he means pursue them in prayer. So if you're here and you don't know what your spiritual gifts are, will you commit to a season where you say, God, will you show me the place where my abilities and my affinities and the affirmation of others comes together? Will you show me that sweet spot? And if you're here and you know what your spiritual gift is, will you commit to a season of praying that the Holy Spirit would come and manifest himself in you, empowering you to know Jesus and make him known like never before? And we do that personally, but we also need to do that corporately, where we come together as a church and we pray that we would see the full spectrum of the gifts fully alive and active here at KAC, expressing the fullness of Jesus, the symphony of Jesus. And prayer is non-negotiable, and it's necessary because in that place of prayer is where we develop intimacy. And in that place of intimacy is where we're filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can be empowered by him. So we renounce our pride and we pray, but we also practice. And so if you're here and you don't know what your spiritual gift is, one author says that we often find our spiritual gift when we just start doing the things that we were already called to do. And there is a blanket call over each of our lives to serve and to evangelize and to intercede. And as we start doing those things in obedience, we find that place where our abilities and our affinities and the affirmation of others come together, and we experience that sweet spot where the wind of the Holy Spirit comes and we think, that's it. And if you're here and you know what your spiritual gift is, you need to practice it, because spiritual gifts are like spiritual muscles and they need to be developed. I started preaching a number of years ago because somebody had heard me preach a couple of times and they said, you know what, I think you have a gift. They affirmed me and they said, I want to see it built up. And so I went from somebody who preached like once or twice to preaching once a month. And I had absolutely no idea what I was doing. I knew I had this spiritual gift, but it was like an underdeveloped muscle. I was like a little spiritual toothpick. And so I'd work really hard, and I'd show up on a Sunday, and I'd say things that didn't make sense, and I'd make jokes that weren't funny, and then I'd go home, and I'd work really hard, and I'd show up on Sunday, and I'd say things that didn't make sense, and I'd make jokes that weren't funny. And don't get me wrong, God spoke at the beginning of it because it wasn't about me, and I still have a long ways to go. But as my spiritual gift was developed, as that muscle was developed, I experienced and I witnessed increasing effectiveness and power. I experienced the wind of the Holy Spirit. And that's exciting. But you have to understand this. What kept me in the game, what kept me going week after week, was my desire for Jesus. Jesus, I want you. I want to keep wanting you, and I want you for those around me. And so it is with your spiritual gift. If you have the gift of evangelism, the first time you evangelize, you're going to say things that don't make sense, and you're going to fumble over your words. But as you practice, as you get in the game, your spiritual gift will develop, and you will experience and witness increasing effectiveness and power. If you have the spiritual gift of mercy, the first time you sit with somebody in the depths of their brokenness, you will say things that don't make sense. You will fumble over your words, but as you get in the game and you practice your spiritual gift, you will witness and experience increasing effectiveness and power. The wind of the Holy Spirit. And so if you're here and you are in Jesus, whether you made that decision 5 minutes ago or you made that decision 50 years ago, you have been distributed charismatic. You have been distributed spiritual gifts. And I believe with every fiber of my being that you have been called to KAC because you have the gifts needed for the body to continue cultivating the life of Jesus amongst us and express the life of Jesus to those around us and encounter the life of Jesus for yourself. And I'm confident that KAC will not be the church it is called to be without you. And so my prayer for us as a church is that we would learn to be windmills. that we'd be surrendered to the wind of the Holy Spirit, and we would pursue our spiritual gifts in prayer, and we would pursue intimacy with the Lord in prayer, because that's where we're filled. And then we would get in the game, and we would keep getting in the game. And it's their desire for Jesus that keeps us in the game. And here at KC, we would see the full spectrum of the spiritual gifts alive and active here, so that we could know Jesus and make him known. Let me pray for us. Jesus, I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you come and you renew and you unite and you distribute and empower in grace, so that we could cultivate you, Jesus, so that we could express you, Jesus, and we could know you for ourselves. And so I pray that as a people, Lord, that we would renounce pride, we would surrender our wills, and we'd learn to be windmills, that we'd be surrendered to the wind of you, Holy Spirit, and you would come and you would blow like never before. That you would manifest yourself in our midst and manifest yourself to those around us, so that we could know you more, Jesus, and make you known more. We ask it all in your name. Amen.